percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
I tell you, 2020 is shaping up to be a really, really interesting year. All the stuff hitting the headlines that before was maybe, you know, feature story and off, alternative news kind of thing. I'm talking UFOs, Bigfoot, that kind of stuff. It's hitting more of the mainstream. The recent example of that, like last year, I think we started the year with Leslie Kane's story on UFOs and the Navy, the Nimitz encounter. So we're kind of going back to that because during the year, at some point, the Navy said, no, we really don't research. So they backtracked. Okay, well, here's a forward track again, because what recently came out due to a Freedom of Information Act inquiry by a blogger, a ufologist, somebody who's going, okay, fine, what's the real dirt? Well, so what comes back from that is, well, okay, yeah, we are exploring and we are researching and we are interested, but the information we have, we can't give you because it could, quote, gravely damage U.S. national security if released, according to the PR outlet for the Navy. Whoa. Okay, so we don't do it, and then we do, and now we do it, and we're not going to tell. Kind of back to where we were for 50 years. Okay, but that's actually a step forward, because in coming out, the guys who had witnessed and seen some of the tapes that they had played with this UFO action said that they had seen longer versions. And I think that was reported in Popular Mechanics. They do a good job of covering that stuff, too. So anyway, that was reported that they had seen longer versions, and somehow they were edited, they were cut down. And not only that, that somebody came in and took the tapes, and I don't know, it was a Men in Black kind of scenario, but someone came in, and then the tapes disappeared, and that was it. So this is just fascinating. So what's all the cloak and dagger? Something's there. Does it mean that we have technology that advanced? No. Right. Because the kind of stuff they've been reporting for the last 200-300 years all across the world is nothing to do with the technology we have now. All right. And that's, so whatever we have is still, in terms of the UFO stuff, not quite in sync, but really cool. So I go back to the thing that Ingo Swann saw when he was on that little encounter when they took him out for a rendezvous with something mysterious out in the wilderness. And then the UFO, the big thing, appeared out of nothing. This big diamond kind of just starts filling into the space and being, in all of a sudden, a full embodiment UFO, not like anything he'd seen, scared him speechless, let's say. And when they ask him, well, what was your vibe? What did you pick up? Because they wanted to know his impression. Are they hostile? What, you know, is there something about it? Because Ingo was a very good remote viewer and psychic. And he said, okay, next time, if you want me to do that, you need to give me a little bit of a warning, because I had no clue. I was thinking, stay alive, as he ran for cover, like everybody else, because they mentioned something about it gets hostile when it picks up a heat signature. Okay, so all of that backtracking again is that there's a lot going on that we still don't know how to define it, let alone categorize it. So what we can do is we can see it, but we don't know what we're seeing. And that's the cool thing about this. Now, if you want to do a little bit more about that, let's move on to UFOs. From UFOs to being a real-life Ghostbuster, the Kessler Psychology Unit allows you to study all sorts of things, psychokinesis, hauntings, ghosts, PK, whatever, all of that. And it's an online course, 11-week distance learning course. I'll put the link on that on the Wendy's Coffee House blog, but that would be something fun. And there's not a whole lot required, just 11 weeks of paying attention. And then I think you get a certificate, and that's pretty much it. But at least you might get some of the lingo and some of the terminology and some of the backstory behind a lot of these topics that are called paranormal, conveniently lumped into that category. And it still includes a whole lot of stuff that we can't identify. And the Bigfoot story from Down Under, the guy said he was out panning for gold when a big log flew by him. Okay. That lets you know it's not a squirrel or a deer. And he wasn't sure what was going on, but he had a camera. And this is the typical kind of, he got footage. the typical kind of, he said, I was trying to hold my camera and at the same time find that thing. And so it looks down at the ground and goes back up. This is typical. And people want somebody who's there with a stationary camera getting everything all, you know, close up and from all different sides. That doesn't happen in real life. But he did have an encounter and he does have something in his video and you can kind of for a moment see it. And he says he's going back, not to pan for gold, to find footprints. Okay, Shelley Kerr is my guest. I'll save my spoon bending story. Shelley Kerr, and I do have one, okay, so I'm going to bring that back up, but I want to include Shelley on that. Okay, so Shelley Kerr is my guest. She's a past life lady, and that's her forte. That's what she's known for. That's what she has fun doing and helping people understand how something that happened a long time ago, if you reconcile that, might improve your current life situation. She also has a couple of new books coming out. One, we're going to get into karma, Meet Your Karma, The Healing Power of Past Life Memories. And then the other one, Lives with Pets, and that's coming out, I think, in May. So, but she's also known for the Edgar Cayce Egyptian Energy Healing Program. And so, Shelley, did I name everything for the most part?
It sounds great. Wendy, Happy New Year!
I know, 2020 already. Okay, so has your year, are you off to a good start?
I think this year is going to be amazing. I am so excited. I can't believe that I'm going to get to work with Llewellyn on these new books. I am turning a literal cartwheel over here. I'm so excited. I love Llewellyn.
Well, and that was, I think, mid last year when we talked, that was like a total, there was a little gold nugget dropped in your lap.
Yes. I have loved Llewellyn since the very early days of my career when I used to read all of the Scott Cunningham books, like the Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs and the Book of Incense Oils and Brews. And, you know, I was really loved Ted Andrews.
Oh, gosh, the Animal Speak. Yeah, Animal Speaks. Yeah, that's a classic.
God bless him. I mean, I had a chance to meet him, and he's passed away, you know, and Scott
yes.
Cunningham passed away a long time ago. But I'm a huge Llewellyn fan. I love their book on all the books on Wicca and the shamanism and everything, and they've got some of the best experts in the world. And I'm just like, literally, like, this is a bucket list
yes.
for me.
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled, and I'm so grateful to the team over there. I mean, it's been a dream come true.
Well, okay.
And I can't say enough.
That's you're in the right place at the right time, and now you're on that team. And so the newest one is going to be Meet Your Karma. And we've talked about the past life aspect before, but this is getting into it on a different level. And so where do we dig in with that? Oh, you know what? Maybe we need to just, we can't go just an overview quick because we're going to have to take a break. So the overview, and then we'll get into it.
Okay, we can do an overview. So I have been doing past life regressions for 20 years. And so I had a book back in 2003 that was endorsed by Dr. Brian Weiss, but I haven't really published anything in many, many years. And so these books that Llewellyn's doing for me is going to showcase some of the thousands of client case studies that I've collected over the years. And Meet Your Karma specifically, the focus is to hopefully help a lot of people in the society right now who are unfortunately suffering terribly from anxiety, depression, and trauma. There's a ton of self-guided journeys in this book that readers can actually use themselves to take their healing journey into their own hands and hopefully get some results to feel better in this new year.
Okay, and so that has to do with resolving a past life issue that still has managed to show up.
That's right.
All right. Is there a theme with past life issues? Does it have to do with, you know, having trouble being male, female, certain, you know, birth orders? Do those things all factor in?
In this book, because it's, you know, anxiety and depression and trauma are so deep and troubling to the soul, there is a theme in it. A lot of the case histories that I've featured here, the undercurrent is fear.
Wow.
Various fearful events that happen to the soul in a past life.
Okay. Okay, so maybe phobias.
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right.
Lots of those.
Okay, well, yeah. I got one, and I'll tell you how I dealt with it. We're talking with Shelley Kerr and the past life lady. It's just easy for me to call you the past life lady, okay, Shelley?
Yeah, that's fine.
And that's your website. That's your website. Okay, so
Yay.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the karma and how that impacts you, and how you can resolve that if you can figure out what past life it relates to. It's Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, back in a few. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. If you have questions about anything that is on this show, you can get Wendy's Coffee House blog. All right, real easy to do that, wendyscoffeehouse.com. Or Shelley, her Past Life Lady website. You can find out more about the books there, pastlifelady.com. Very convenient. And today we're talking about Meet Your Karma. We're going to get some pet stuff in here too, but Meet Your Karma. And that's the latest one coming out. It's like hot off the press from Llewellyn. And I was telling Shelley off the air, my grandmother was a big Llewellyn fan. She has this like the Bible of astrology. And that is, I have her handwritten notes in it. It's that's one of my treasures. But so anyway, but we're moving forward with the past life. And I mentioned phobias, but there's also other things like post-traumatic stress, trauma. You said fear is a huge issue. So where do we start?
There's so many. One of the interesting ones that I think a lot of people can relate to now, the case study in the book, was this woman came to see me. She was a PTA mom. And there was this other mother in her child's class, and they were just at each other's throats because her little boy had been getting bullied by this kid, and the woman just couldn't get anywhere with talking to the family and things like that. So she came in, because I think there's a certain awareness with people who, you know, with my readers and your audience, that we understand that some stuff isn't going well, and we are at least awake enough to get that there's probably a spiritual reason behind it. So she came in to try to say, you know, I'm not a horrible person, but I literally just can't deal with this woman, and this is getting to a level that I can't handle anymore. And so she went into a past life where she was able to see that in a past life that her and the villagers had turned against this woman and her family and had basically stoned them to death. And then that, yeah, very lovely. And then that energy had been reciprocated also in another past life. So she kind of dished out what she then received also. And so they actually, and a lot of the, I know it's not a lot, but there were several where the punishment that people were being punished for in the past lives had to do with real survival mode level thinking. Like, I stole a loaf of bread because my family is starving, and now everyone's, you know, hanging me or I'm being persecuted.
Right.
Because the case study seemed to be more along the lines of, like, survival mode, like deep survival mode. If you don't have any food to eat, then you can't get on to spirituality or anything else.
Yeah.
So a lot of times what happens in past life journeys is you do see where, okay, I'm dealing with this situation, this person's driving me bananas, and then you can really get up above that and say, wow, you know, I dished out some things to them in a past life, and maybe that in this case the woman had also dished it out to her. This was just going on and on and on and on. And so the resolution was really interesting. She told herself that part of Meet Your Karma, that in the guided imagery part of the book, we really slow it down for readers because I want them to get deeply into the exercise of being able to do processes for themselves to the point where we have a lot of deep breathing exercises, and then we're going to go into a safe place, and then we're going to meet with a guide, because all of that helps to build the person up into being able to work on some of these issues. And so in this case history, the woman, of course, had met with her spirit guide, who was accompanying her on this journey. And this guide told her, look, you need to go out in the physical world, in 3D reality, and actually speak to this woman and just apologize to her. Because a lot of the work that we do in our mind, like in hypnotherapy, and the things that I do with clients, we can go into our mind, and we can send light, and we can bless everyone and love them. And a lot of times that makes unbelievably powerful shifts. But her guide actually told her, you in the physical three-dimensional world, just walk up to her, just say, I'm sorry. And she even said, this sounds crazy, the woman's not going to know what I'm talking about. And so when she really did, she went and met this mother and just walked up to her one day at an event and said, hey, you know what, I'm really sorry. The woman just practically burst into tears and said, you know, my husband and I are separated, we're probably going to get a divorce, our child is upset, and you know what, I'm really sorry too. I'm sorry that my kid is out of control. He's upset, obviously, and I just haven't had the strength to be able to deal with this. And it got so good between them, she was like, I think I want to invite this lady over to dinner. And she wants to, she started getting the kids together to play and stuff like that. And I think that this study for sure in this current environment, you know, just kind of reminds people hopefully that sometimes we don't like what people are doing, obviously, and there's a lot of theoretically negative stuff going on in the world. But when you really get down underneath some of the exterior drama that's portrayed in the media and things like that, you see that, you know, we're all people. And sometimes when people present with something that seems really horrible, you have to get up underneath it, especially with bullies. Bullies are usually very fragile people who have problems.
Yeah.
And when we can start to see each other, you know, as souls rather than just a bunch of people, you know, out to ruin our lives, you know, then we can, even if we don't have a past life journey, we can kind of get above things and hopefully just find a state of grace for each other, you know, that is sorely needed in this society. I don't have to tell you about that. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, but, okay, so it's more of a neutrality, a non-judgment. It's just saying, okay, I don't feel good. I can tell by the other person's actions they don't feel good. Is there any way we can reach a common ground? And with her going in and saying, and just out of the blue saying, I'm sorry. Basically, she was offering an olive branch. That may not work every time, but with these two, that was absolutely what was needed. So it's like each scenario is going to have a different element. And that, I think, is what is also a part of this, that's why it's important that each person goes into their own past history and not assume that what worked for somebody else would work for me. It's just that, okay, this is an idea of how I can work it and what might be possible if I just suspend, like she had to do, the disbelief and say, okay, Shelley, I'll give it a shot. And then to have those tremendous results, that does speak to the power of identifying what could have been incredibly difficult, hurtful, and obviously fatal results with several, it sounded like multiple past life encounters.
Yes. I think you mentioned a great point, which is the whole neutrality. Like, some things that people go through are so horrible that it would be very hard to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can at least get to the point, like you said, of some kind of neutral space where there's not, like, that emotional charge on that anymore, then that makes a huge impact. Because in the end, when we unfortunately carry around the stuff from the things that have hurt us, in the end, we are the one that's actually going to suffer. And so
I think,
even if we can get it to neutral, that's good.
Yeah, that's because it's I. It's all about me instead of, okay, wait a minute, I'm temporary. This is where I am at this time, at this point, in this position and presenting this face. But actually, this is just my, you know, my tourist suit. And maybe I can try a different, a different outfit and see how that works. A lot of it has to do with mindset. It's a mental way of changing your vantage point, your emotion, and seeing where that emotion really is. And most of the time, in my opinion, it's not about the other person. It's about you. It's about where can I get beyond this hurt that I feel? How can I set that aside? I have a lot more questions about your cases, and I know, I mean, there are some here that are very intense, and especially when you're dealing with trauma and fear. So we can, this next break, take a trip into another one of those. I know when I told you about phobia, my fear was heights, and it hasn't gone away, but it's interesting because it seems to be a part of my family history. My mom also had the same thing. And when I went to Sedona, Arizona, there's a canyon, the Oak Creek, village of Oak Creek, on over the canyon up to Flagstaff. There's a canyon drive, Oak Creek Canyon, and I decided I would drive that. And there's a bridge that scared me, it still gives me goosebumps and stomach upset, butterflies, the whole nine yards. But I realized as long as I was able to understand that the fear would come on when I did that, I could manage it. Didn't make it go away. But there's some past life issues that go with that I don't need to get into that make it a lot more clear as to why once I decided, okay, I'm going to face this head on and understand where I am letting it get the best of me. It was huge. Being able
I'm
to,
proud of you.
Well, to drive that space, you know, other people fear snakes, fear of public speaking, whatever. That was mine, and I just knew I had to drive the space to be able to come to terms with how I could change my attitude, my perception, And the butterflies in my stomach. and it helped. Like I said, it didn't go away. Shelley Kerr, past life lady, KCMO Talk Radio. It's Wendy's Coffee House. We're going to come back with some more drama trauma. Past lives. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest, the past life lady, Shelley Kerr. And we're talking karma. The phobia that I have is heights. And just going back to that for just a moment, there's another part of that that's really very, it's dicey. Because when you have that fear, at least for me, there's also a compelling sense of being pulled over the edge. So it isn't just the fear of heights. There's another thing that goes along with that, that feeling of maybe if I jump, it'll go away. And that's dangerous. So with that fear of, it isn't just being up high. It's what happens when you're up high that feels like you're just going to fall over or be pushed over or get blown off the edge. Some way, shape, or form, you're going to be out in limbo. And so that was also what I had to figure out. Why did I? And I had to figure out that's what I was feeling. I was feeling like I was going to be pulled off. So it wasn't just me standing planted. It was me, somehow this other supernatural force was going to come in and haul me over the side. So that was, and I found out different times of the day. In the morning, I could manage it. In the afternoon, it was completely, totally out of control. I would just get hysterical if I went up mountain, that kind of thing. So that's another element. Does that make sense? I mean, have you heard about that?
That is completely fascinating to me. What's fascinating to me, I guess, is, I mean, were you feeling that this idea that you were going to go over the edge, does that feel good to you? Or does that feel scary to you? That's what I'm confused about. And then I wanted to know, like, were you pushed over in a past life? Did you ever have a regression about this? This is amazingly fascinating.
This one I haven't had a regression about. But there's an element with that. Then it's kind of tangential. But then it's too long to go into. But part of it is, it is frightening. That's the frightening element, is that you have no control and you're being pulled over to the edge. So if I'm riding in a car, I'm feeling the car being pulled over to the edge. All right? That's displacement. That's a completely different kind of experience. And so getting a handle on that, what I had to do was ground myself and stay steady, present, very, very concrete in my body, to be able to navigate this feeling of being pulled out. All right? That's what I do.
Wow.
So,
I mean, I can, you know, over the years, I have really been a huge proponent of past life regression rather than past life readings, because in the reading, people just tell you things, and in a regression, you're actually telling yourself. So at the risk of not wanting to give you a reading, I mean, if I hear something like that, though, and, like, I know you, and I know who you are and how hard you work on various levels of understanding, I would have to ask myself, this sounds like a past life memory to me. And there is one in the book where a woman was terrorized of traveling in tunnels, you know, in her car. And, of course, she had regressed back to a life where she had been killed in a car accident. So I, you know, if I hear that, of course, automatically my ears are going to perk up. But
Yeah. Well,
something's there.
I just wanted to say there's more to it than just that superficial thing of I'm afraid of heights. No, it's a really deep and complex level of emotions and feelings that go into that. So when you're getting into, that's what makes sense to me, when you're going into these emotional blockages that people bring forward and have no idea, you know, what happened. I think there's, you know, you also have animals that are included in some of these stories.
Yes. You mentioned phobias. I guess one of the things that I had to learn how to overcome was my fear of dogs, because when I was 4 years old, I was attacked by a German Shepherd. And so kind of like what you're saying, like you work on it, like intellectually talking to yourself and doing things, but there's still that fear there. And past life regression definitely helped me finally to release that. Now I walk up to dogs and things, but I used to not be able to do that. And I think that you're right, that some of these, it's a very complicated, any trauma or anxiety like this is a mixture of very complicated emotional, spiritual input that has to be dealt with very gently and very gingerly, but it can be done.
Okay, so when people find out about their own issue, what's it like afterwards? I mean, you started with the original story there, but there's all different sides of this with post-traumatic stress and panic disorders. And what happens when they recover? How do you know they've recovered, or how do they integrate it?
The book in the guided imagery, it's talking about what I call the relief method, which is, you know, my past life regression really isn't a typical regression, because from the very beginning, I've always combined energy healing with hypnosis. So when I work with people, we're working to shift the actual thought form that's in the energetic field that relates to the memory from the past life, so that it really moves out of the field and of the person's consciousness at a more permanent level. But even with the guided journeys in this book, the processes have been slowed way down, so that, because I've always found that, like, regression processes are kind of like going to the gym. Like, you don't just go, you know, run 2 hours on the treadmill at full force without first, like, walking a little bit, going a little faster and a little faster. So it begins with a lot of deep breathing. There's mindfulness exercises, how to get into some meditative states. Going into creating a very safe space that you can rely on, that you can go to throughout all the different journeys, and then you meet with a trusted guide who's going to basically hold your hand and go on the journeys. And so very, very slowly the person works through it. And then in the later, once that realization, let's say you see this event, I'm just going to use you as this kind of hypothetical example. Let's say you went into the past life. You saw that this incident that has to do with your relating and being scared of heights, we try to reframe that by either, like, let's say you're in hypnotherapy, like, you're either looking out your own eyes, or you can also then rise above it. You can watch it on a screen. So a lot of the journeys in Meet Your Karma are designed where people can kind of watch a scene on a TV that their guide has brought them, and they can see little movies and things play out without being what I call fully associated into events.
Mm-hmm.
And then using, there's energetic cords that are connected with you and every single thing that you've done and will do. So there's energetic cords that you cut. We bring light in. We try to, like you talked about at the beginning of the show, like bringing enough light into an event until we can kind of lighten and brighten things, so that it starts to become more of a neutral feeling.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not, yeah. Maybe we're not turning cartwheels, but we're at least kind of calmed, like we put a little balm over it. And then just very gently going through these things so that very slowly certain things can be resolved. Because, you know, the soul is like an onion. We're just peeling back tiny little layers, getting more and more insight. And so it's done in a very, I want to say, safe way, that the soul, like, under this light form of hypnosis in alpha state, you know, the person is completely aware, completely awake, and yet pictures, thoughts, and feelings are coming up. But the only things that are ever presented to a person, because your higher self is always in charge, are the things that you're able and willing to handle at the moment. And in this one, though, we do go to great lengths, let's just say, to make sure that it's on a screen, we're feeling very safe, so that little by little, we can kind of etch away, because working on yourself really is a lifelong endeavor. And I began doing this, you know, over 20 years ago, working through some of my own things. And that's why I became a past life therapist, because I knew that it's, for me anyway, it's been the most life-changing transformational work that I've ever done. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's not necessarily going to wave the wand completely. But when we just get little glimpses of light, little pockets where we can just bring more neutrality into certain things, then over time, the whole demeanor of a person can start to become more peaceful. And so, because the only reason why we do it, you know, is we want to become happier in our current life. We want to bring more peace into our current life. And in some cases, I think that the universal manager, God, source, whatever you want to call it, puts us through really hideous conditions. Sometimes maybe so we can learn empathy for others, and so we can be, you know, helpful to others. I think the things that we go through.
Hold on.
Okay.
When you said helpful and empathy, That brings me to past lives with pets, and we have to take a break. So let's bring in the empathy, all right? Past life with pets. Shelley Kerr, past life lady. KCMO, talk radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. All right, I mentioned earlier about the spoon bending. I have to talk about that. I'm going to bring that up. Shelley Kerr is my guest, past life lady, couple of books, Meet Your Karma. We're talking about that. Also, Past Life with Pets. I think that's coming out in May. I want to bring that spoon bending thing back up because this is energy, and this is how it works, and it comes with you, and you have control of your energy. And I think part of that is my past life awareness. I'm working on the spoon, and I had a class years ago, and I thought, oh, this would be fun to teach. So I thought I better get back up to speed. And so I was practicing, and I had forks and spoons, a little pile, and I worked on the forks and bent the forks. And okay, no big deal. So later on, I come back, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to work on the spoon. So I'm working on the spoon. I'm also working on the computer, and kind of multitasking and thinking, okay, if I just don't, I don't push my energy the way that I did, because with the fork, it was like this wonderful melding, and you get into it, and it just melts. It's like butter. It goes boop. And okay, so I'm working on the spoon, and I think, well, okay, there it is, that moment, and I'm trying not to push the energy. I don't want to force it. I want it to just be there. And so then I take the spoon. It's at that moment where I know it's gonna respond, and I take the spoon, and it cracks. I'm like, wait, it cracked right there at the neck. That crack is different than a blend or a bend, all right? So what happened was I heated the fork and it bent, but I cracked the spoon, which means I froze it. So I go into my husband, Andy, he says, oh my gosh, yeah, look, that's crystals. So yeah, so the opposite energy, what happened in trying not to push, the result was I pulled because I was doing the opposite. And so it pulled the energy from that. And I thought, you know, this is what works when people are doing healing and hands-on healing, and that's our energy at work. So I could see the difference between those two things. So there you go. And I got a picture. I put it on Facebook so people could see the bend and the break. And, yeah, it worked. Now I need more practice. So have you tried?
I think you don't need practice. I think you're amazing at it, apparently.
A friend said, I don't want to make you mad. Like, well, I didn't even think about the possibility that it could have a reverse result. And now I understand, oh my gosh, I could do it either way, and that would make sense. But so and I thought, I am going to start seeing how differently I can apply that energy. So getting back into it, that like energy cords you were talking about, these things are real. This is how we connect with our space beyond the physical form. And that, I think, also has to do with the phobias, the emotions that people bring. Those emotions are real, and they're energy, and they're layers. And when you start trying to, you know, dissolve and, I think, disengage from that layer, then you're free. You don't have the limits that you were stuck with when you were wearing that particular suit. That's the way I understand it.
Yeah, it is definitely a real thing. I want to say I've never been able to bend a spoon, so I'm really impressed. I think you did it almost too well. That's the way I interpret that. Amazing.
Okay.
Your strong mind. But okay. I haven't been able to do that.
All right. Well, bend and break are two different things, okay? So just let's remember.
I think
baby
a break
steps.
Is a really good bend the
yeah.
far.
Baby
that?
Steps. Okay, well, all right. With the pets, this is where, you know, the comfort zone of going back and realizing that you actually have connected with your animal companions before.
Yes. This is kind of like a byproduct of some of the regressions that I've done over the years. I mean, because let's face it, you don't come to see me and go, Shelley, I'm having a real issue with my dog. He's being a real jerk, mm-hmm. you know.
What happened in Egypt?
Yeah, so the animals sometimes do appear in cat and people's past life regressions. In Meet Your Karma, one of my favorite ones that relates to pets is this woman was kind of borderline pet hoarding. I won't spill all the beans about the details in the backstory, but the bottom line was we regressed her into her past life in Egypt, where she basically was part of that Bastet cat cult. And so there's a whole section in Meet Your Karma about vows and soul contracts, because sometimes what happens to people is that, believe it or not, you made a promise a few thousand years ago, and you don't remember it, and so now you're basing a lot of your subconscious behaviors and decisions on the promise you made. And so she basically had agreed to take care of these cats, but it was getting to the point where it was obviously going overboard, and so through a lot of healing, sometimes these vows can be very hard to work with because, again, gently, because the soul at the deepest levels really believes or pledges an allegiance to something that has to kind of be broken down. But over time, she was able to come to a healthier, you know, yes, we love cats, that's cool, but, you know, maybe not taking it quite as far.
Not 200.
Yeah, maybe
okay.
One or two. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, because hoarding is a whole different energy, and it's usually a void, a big void, and that unfortunately, there are too many of those cases. So with that though, for you seeing people with pets, you said that it just is kind of a byproduct. They're not necessarily coming in and saying, you know, what have Fred and I experienced in the last, you know, 200 years.
Once in a while they do, but like sometimes they might be going off. You know, like they're in France now, and they see their poodle. Was their poodle then, or you know that really popular film and book series about the dog's journey? So the pet passes away, and then that same pet has now reincarnated back into your same current lifetime. That we've got a lot of case histories about that. People who remembered their lives as animals, and then the focus in terms of the healing part of it. Is because, you know, our little animals, I think it's so important. Our animals are some of our most important relationships that we have. Obviously, not because they're giving us issues, but because they're teaching us the true experience and meaning of unconditional love. And, you know, your dog has your back, whether anybody else does or not. And so there's a lot of suffering that goes on when our pets pass away that... This book will get into like a lot of really powerful grief recovery journeys and things like that to help with that, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, let me go find my animal spirit totem and things like that that are a little more, you know, spirituality oriented, but there's a lot of healing that goes on there as well.
You have crammed a whole lot of information in the past 6 months, all the stuff you've done. I'm going to have to let you go. But first, the one that we're talking about now that's coming out, like that's hot off the press, Meet Your Karma, The Healing Power of Past Life Memories. And then in May, the next installment, Past Lives with Pets, is on the way. Discover your timeless connection to your beloved companions. And you do presentations at the Edgar Cayce Foundation. So, do you ever sleep?
No, not anymore. That's a thing of the past. That's a thing of the past lives.
Oh, you got all caught up, right?
Yes, and I'll be doing some Meet Your Karma events, and I'm also going to be training past life regressionists. So... those are on my events page on my website.
Okay. So pastlifelady.com. You can check it out. And I put my picture of the spoons, the bent one and the cracked one, the bent fork. I'm telling you, I got to practice some more with this because I'm thinking, you know what? This would be fun to have the... It was a guy, Jack Houck, who used to do these PK parties. All right. I'm thinking this would be fun. See what we can do. Shelley, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Wendy. Happy New Year. You're so wonderful, and
thank
I have
you.
Such a great time on the show. Thank you for having me back.
I think we've had a past life together, okay?
I'm sure we have.
I think at least three or four.
Probably, yes, because you and I are big buddies.
Okay. And if anybody listening wants more information about the Past Life Lady website right now, pastlifelady.com, you'll find out all the details you'll need about getting the books. And if you're curious, you know, you could do a past life session yourself. For me... I'm going to try the spoon thing again and try to bend, as in not to bend. Thanks for listening. Stay curious.